And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to the start of your long bank holiday weekend.
Talk to the rainbow.
Low-cost therapy option for LGBT people.
Plus, everybody's talking about Jamie.
The show that's here in Bristol, we had the chance to catch up with the lead actor, Ivana Turco.
Or today, right here on Shout Out.
With me, Andy Shilton, and...
I forgot my name, I've lost...
Okay. Remember what your name is now.
Stop ad-libbing.
It's Stephanie Barnet.
Well, I normally put what our names are in the script, and it was missing out that one.
Well, so. I think everyone knows who we are by now, don't you?
Well, you don't, apparently.
Happy 60th birthday to radio.
It is, yes.
It all to changed.
Radio. Yep. Well, no, not for radio.
Changed. Well, it did change.
Radio itself is 100 years old. Yep. 101. Well, 102, actually, this year.
But 60 years ago, radio changed in the UK forever.
It did. It did. Yes.
Radio Caroline started broadcasting.
It did, yeah.
As all our younger listeners go, what?
Well, yes. Radio wouldn't be the radio that you listen to now if it weren't for Radio Caroline and the pirates.
No. It's very true.
Oh, that was almost a pirate accent.
That was a very nice
R.
Yeah. And happy Easter to Donald Trump, who's putting his own Bible out.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
He's sure of a bit of dosh.
Book of Trump.
Surely that's got to be why he's doing it.
Well, as a precursor to the launch and at the launch, he did mention that the court cases that are against him are very similar to the crucifixion of Christ.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I can see the similarities. Yeah. Look the same.
Yeah, you've got to dig deep for that one.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a
I mean,
Messiah
a lot of men
complex.
followed Jesus around.
Well,
Trump
it's not the
that.
First time he's compared himself to
no,
Jesus
it's not.
Christ.
That is a Messiah complex, which is a bona fide mental health condition.
It is.
That sort of
and it's very
complex.
Worrying to those of us who really are.
What?
But
whatever.
Christ-like.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can't, you know, he's not very much following the peace and love teachings of Jesus of Nazareth.
No, he's not.
You know, regardless of your opinion.
It'd be the Old Testament, Terry, you know, murder, mayhem, rape, pillage.
Okay.
Oh, dear. Right.
Yes,
okay.
I think so.
What a lovely start to the show.
But anyway,
look, it's not on us, it's on Trump.
We're off to a good start talking about something fun like radio.
Let's talk about what is your favourite Easter egg? There we go.
That's a nice idea.
Yeah, go on then, Terry.
Well, I like Divine Chocolate, which is a cooperative brand.
Hang on, we just said we were ditching the whole Divine thing.
that's the name of the chocolate.
Yeah, Terry's a rebel rouser.
They are they're a fair trade, and they do a very silky smooth milk chocolate, which is lovely. Oh, they do a vegan one as well.
They do.
Well, nice long weekend, isn't it? And yes. Interestingly, clocks go forward this weekend as
they
well.
They do.
About 3 a.m. on Sunday morning, I think.
Yeah,
it is,
2,
isn't it?
2, 2 becomes 3 a.m. 2 becomes 3, yeah.
Yeah.
So
we
but
lose
it's so
an hour.
Cold. It's normally like I associate Easter with like nice warm sunniness, and it's not. It hailstoned earlier.
Did
it was so loud I actually couldn't speak to my colleague in the office who was sat opposite me. It was that
it was,
loud.
You're it
so
was dramatic, loud. Wasn't it?
Yeah. No.
I was going to say we know so you're so loud. Loud.
Yeah. Also, if you're listening in the southwest, Devon and Cornwall, that's snow.
Yes.
Heavy snow last night.
And in Wales as well.
Yeah, in Wales.
My folks woke up to.
That's a broad Terry. We don't talk about that.
Indeed.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, though, Cornwall used to be its own country at one point.
It did in the 6th and 7th centuries.
It still wants to be, and they're a movement for independence.
Maybe on Cairno, they do have a couple of seats on local councils. Yes, they're an independence party.
Their natural language, or native language, is the same as Breton. The other
very similar.
It's
very similar and related to Welsh as well. So a Welsh speaker...
They're all kind of Celtic, aren't they?
Yeah, they're Brythonic Celtic languages, and a Welsh speaker could probably follow the gist of Cornish. There are a few hundred people that still speak Cornish.
Yeah.
Now from that to Sheffield.
Ooh.
Which has got a lovely accent too, hasn't it?
It has.
Yeah, I know somebody from Sheffield.
We do.
Yeah.
Yes.
As well as Ivano.
Well, no, I don't think Ivano's from Sheffield, is he? But
my daughter-in-law is.
Oh, right, okay. So nice. I actually quite like the accent. So, Accents, everyone has a different opinion of, because some people love and hate the Bristolian accent too, but yeah. I've been here so long, like, I'm just so accents. Used to it.
The centre of stainless
steel.
That's
because you can do every accent, is why you like them all. So, but yeah, I Love Jamie is in town at the moment. You might remember, I think it was 2000, I say it at the beginning
I
of the
I do
interview.
Love Jamie, but everybody loves
everybody
Jamie.
Everybody loves you, so that's it.
You were just thinking about you, weren't you? I love Jamie, and everybody else does.
So, no, it was based on a documentary that went out on TV in about, I think it's 2011, I do say at the beginning of the clip. But it's here, Everybody Loves Jamie. And I don't know about you, I've had a few friends who've seen it rant and raved about it. I haven't seen the stage show yet, but apparently it's even better than the actual film. So you haven't seen the stage show, have you? Have you seen the stage show?
No, I haven't.
I've seen clips. I loved the Tara's nodding in the background. Tara has.
You went to London. Oh, nice.
She went to London.
Cool. Well, it's on at Bristol at the moment.
It's touring in the
UK. It's touring. And Ivana does tell us where it's going on to next. But we were really, really lucky and managed to catch up with Ivana Turco, who plays the lead part of Jamie, on stage at the moment. So have a listen to this.
Everybody is talking about Jamie. Here at Shout Out, we're talking with Jamie. I'd like to introduce to the show Ivana Turco, currently playing Jamie and Everyone's Talking About Jamie. Black British Theatre Award winner, Best Actor. Played Prince Sebastian, Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cinderella. Played Bob Marley, Get Up, Stand Up, and Grammy-nominated singer. Ivana, welcome to Shout Out.
Very well, welcome.
Thank you, you're too kind, thank you.
Right, that's quite a lot of accolade, isn't it?
It is.
Just to start off with there, straight off the bat.
Oh, I'm definitely trying.
Before we get into the production that you're doing now and future productions, let's go back to your childhood and growing up. Did you always have a penchant for acting and dressing up and sort of showing off at school and in front of your parents?
Yes, I you know, fell in love with acting at like a really young age. And I always grew up singing in church. So, you know, music was always like a part of my life. But I think it wasn't until I was maybe 17, 18 that I really decided, you know, that this was a path that I really wanted to walk. And then that's when I actually began to really take it seriously. But yes, I've always been around and submersed in, you know, the art and the culture and stuff like that. So yes, I from as long as I can remember, really.
Andy?
Lots of videos from Christmases then with the grandparents that you're singing for them, that kind of thing, let me guess.
Yes. I would have my guitar and I'd be singing the Christmas carols with everybody. And yeah, no, fun, great times.
I'm guessing they must have spotted the talent in you from quite an early age then. I mean, most parents look back and it's like my mum says, I always knew he was going to do something with radio.
Yes. I mean, you know, you take it with a pinch of salt because everybody, every parent, like you know, thinks the world of their child. So, it wasn't until I really like discovered my voice and my talent for myself that I was like, okay, I'm really, really going to take this seriously.
Now, of course, you're here in Bristol right now, doing the huge hit. Everybody's Talking About Jamie, which of course is a stage version of a documentary from 2011. And I remember watching the documentary and thinking it was absolutely brilliant. It was absolutely fascinating. Never thought they'd make a musical out of it, but they've done an amazing job with it, haven't they? How did you end up getting involved with that?
I was in the same year in training with the actor who played Jamie in the film. That was kind of like my first introduction to it because, you know, he was shooting it at the same time whilst we were still going to classes and stuff. And, you know, when he would talk about it, I was like, oh, what is this show that, you know, I didn't know anything about it. And then after that, I kind of started to research on it, and then it really piqued my interest. I felt like, you know, it was like a little bit of a Pandora's box in a way, because then I just became encapsulated and I was like, I really want to do that. I want to be next to do that. And, you know, thank God, like the chips have all fallen where they have, and I can be sat here, you know, walking that properly.
So did you watch the film with your friends then when it first came out?
Yeah, I watched it. I remember it was just at the end of a double show day doing Cinderella and it was on Amazon, and I thought, okay, no, let me give it a watch. And, you know, again, that kind of reinvented and reinvigorated the love that I had for it, because, you know, they had a lot of, I mean, things that translate from stage to screen, like I'm a huge fan of screen work. I think details are just so beautiful when you can tell a lot from just little things. So I think when I seen the film as opposed to seeing it on stage is when I really fell in love with it a little bit more. But yes, of course I had to watch the film. Yes, my friend was in it.
now give us a clue, because I've seen the film and a lot of our listeners will have seen the film but may not have seen the stage show. Is it dramatically different? Do you think it translates very well to the stage? Because it kind of looks like a stage version, just the stage is a lot bigger when you watch the film, I guess is the best way I could describe it. But would you agree with that? Is that?
Yes. Yeah, no, absolutely. It definitely it translates to screen like very, very well. And, you know, that's a kind of hard thing to pull off, because not necessarily every musical film is a brilliant success. So I think, you know, they did a really good job at like pinpointing what the important checkpoints are, and, you know, translating that behind the camera, and have still made it, you know, work and seamless. Of course, there are like camera things and tricks that they've added in to add to the plushness of all of it. But yes, it is pretty much identical from a, you know, a give or take a couple of things. But we also get more information because we have close-ups, we have, you know, flashbacks, you know, things that we can't necessarily do on a live stage. And those things just aid the storytelling so much more. So I think it brilliantly translates to film. I think, I dare say, maybe one of the best movie musicals, I think.
I love the bit walking along the wall in the high heels. Do you have to do that on stage as well, in a precarious way?
Yes, of course. Yes, it doesn't look as cinematic, unfortunately, but yes, it is still there, yeah.
That it is a coming of age story, obviously. But yes. What's your take on just how big a boost of equality it is? Because it's got a lot of serious messages in it too, hasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, an interesting conversation that I was having with the OG directors of it. Like they had, it's lovely to see, where should I start? It's lovely to see how inclusive the world is now. I mean, when this was written in like the early 2000s, but about the experiences that the directors had when they were in school. So it was, you know, it was quite far back, and since the inception of the show and to now where we're playing it, like the world has changed so much. So, you know, we kind of, I almost think of it as a little bit of a period piece, you know, I mean, not everywhere is the same and is up to speed with everything, but we're definitely not in the same place that we were before, definitely. Mm.
Sadly, it's not 100%, as much as we'd love it to be. I mean, can I ask, have you had any bad feedback from people? Have anyone been nasty just because you're playing the character of Jamie?
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, definitely. But I think each role, you know, comes with its own criticisms, you know, and, you know, when you go to different shows, like the fan bases kind of do shift because, you know, you can't really please everybody and everybody likes different things. There's so much art to be consumed by everybody, so naturally, you know, everything kind of does shift and not everybody kind of rides with that show as much as they did the show before. And, you know, I mean, there's not a lot of Bob Marley fans that are running to come and see everybody's talking about Jamie, do you know what I mean? So
I'm sure there are one or two. There must be some, I'm sure.
Oh no, yeah, there definitely are some, but you know.
Well, I'll come back to more about how people can find out about the show and how to get tickets and the like. But with yourself, have you got plans for what's next? What are you going to do after you're Jamie?
Yes, well, there are some exciting things, you know.
Or are you not allowed to tell us? Is it one of those?
I can drop some hints. But, you know, there's exciting things happening. And in terms of theatre, like I'm not too sure. I'm kind of toying with the idea of like maybe just a brief hiatus to try and focus on other things, because it's hard to join other projects and movies and stuff, because you have to be here all the time. Like, so the contact hours are absolutely rigorous. But, you know, there are really exciting things in the work. You know, there is new music that is coming soon, so that is very exciting, because that's something that I really wanted to be able to do for a long time, but I haven't been able to, you know, have the time and space to really like get the right, you know, layers for everything and all of that. But you know, everything is in a really exciting place, so I would definitely say just keep an eye out.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite, I think when people are watching a stage show, they don't really think about that. They just think about the few hours they're there and you're on the stage and it's actually amazing, then it's over and done with. They don't think about the fact that you've got rehearsals and you've got to up and move sticks to another place. And they're like, it's actually a lot more involved than that, isn't it?
Yes. No, yes. Oh my gosh, you live your life for it, really. You know, we do 8 shows a week, 9 shows a week sometimes, and then you get home and you're just resting for the next show, you know. You're just living, sorry, we've just...
You've just been plunged into darkness.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to run out of time in a bit anyway, but it's on at the moment in the Hippodrome, isn't it? If people want to find out more, how do they get tickets? How can they find out more about it?
So if you just go to NIMAX Theatres, the website, or even if you just type in Everybody's Talking About Jamie UK Tour, they'll be able to direct you to places where you can buy tickets. Some people sell the tickets through the actual theatre on the websites, and they will have redirect links to be able to find that. So we're so easy to find. All you need to do is just type our name in.
And if you're not in Bristol and you're listening, where are you off to next? Where are the next few destinations? Do you know?
So we have Plymouth next week. And because we've just finished the West End run of the show. But we have Plymouth next week, obviously Bristol this week. And then after that, we have 2 weeks in Sheffield, which is obviously very important for the show because, you know, it's about Sheffield, based in Sheffield, built for Sheffield. And so we're looking forward to that fortnight there as well. And then, you know, we've got other places upcoming, like Leicester, Milton Keynes, Scotland, all of those things. But they're all definitely on the website. You'll be able to find your tickets easily, should you wish.
And you're going to be busy for a while, by the sounds of it, with all that.
Yes, just a little bit. Yeah, we've got just over 15 weeks left.
Gosh. Well, listen, it's been absolutely lovely talking to you. It's great to have you here in Bristol, especially doing something that's as close to our heart as well, because it was a phenomenal movie. I'm really hoping we can get to come see the stage show too and see you up there. But best of luck with it, and make sure you stay in touch. You'll have to let us know what your next ventures are.
Oh, yes, please. Yes, please. I definitely will have a lot of tea to spill for everybody. I'm sure everybody will be excited. I always say, and all the fans that have, I've been listening to what everybody has been wanting, and there might be some surprises for you guys as well.
Oh, well, you heard it here first. Listen, for now, though, a big thank you, Ivana Turco.
Thank you. I'm Ivana Turco, and you are listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. The fabulous Everybody Talking About Jamie. Wonderful. There. That's the original recording from the film version. So I'd love to have played Ivano's version, but I don't think it's out. I couldn't find it anywhere anyway, but I did try. So,
well, it's an incredible musical.
It is
great. A beautifully true story.
And
wonderful interview.
Yes, thank you. Should we get some news headlines?
All right, then.
Shout Out News, welcome along.
March 31st is Transgender Day of Visibility, created 14 years ago by trans advocate Rachel Crandall. TDOF celebrates the trans community and highlights the contributions made by trans individuals and groups. It also brings visibility to issues faced by the trans community, like anti-trans legislation, financial inequities and issues with housing instability. Last year, President Biden issued a proclamation in honour of Transgender Day of Visibility. The media representation network GLAAD said it's still necessary for trans people to be seen through authentic, diverse and accurate stories which reflect the actual lived experiences of trans people, both for themselves and for the people who believe they've never met a trans person. This includes in news media, where too often trans people's voices are missing from coverage of anti-trans laws and policies affecting their lives, while backlash is a reality that trans people and allies are experiencing. New GLAAD polling data indicates that the vast majority of voting groups oppose candidates who campaign against trans people's access to healthcare and youth sports participation, and acceptance continues to rise with personal familiarity and exposure to trans stories in media.
The US-based LGBT plus newswire Them.com reports that an 18-year-old heterosexual male has been arrested for the murder last June of the gentle and caring black transgender woman, Aisha Davis, whose compassion and humanity had led her to graduate from a nursing course, and she was looking forward to starting a new job looking after people. By contrast, the man who killed her has been charged not only with murder, but with felony firearm possession, carrying a concealed weapon, and obstructing an officer of the law. Special Prosecutor Cam Townes of the Fair Michigan Foundation was certain that the climate of intolerance in the US has facilitated murders like this, and saying she feels such crimes have become, quote, more brazen in recent years. They don't hide in the shadows as much as they used to when they go after members of the LGBTQ plus community, Townes said, adding, there's more of a target on their back, and people are responding to that in negative ways. Aisha Davis was a beautiful human being who deserves at a minimum to be alive today, sharing her cheerful spirit with us, said Tori Cooper, Community Engagement Director at the Human Rights Campaign's Transgender Justice Initiative, following the first reports of Davis's murder last year. It's beyond unacceptable, she said, that not nearly enough of those in power have spoken out against this inhumanity. We continue to call for justice for Aisha and for all those we've lost without sufficient answers.
The Communist Party of the USA has issued a discussion document prior to its annual convention looking at the left movement and women's liberation. The document is quite lengthy, but interesting snippets include, in the aftermath of the overturn of Roe v. Wade and the rise of reactionary attempts to push women back into the home, redefine the family upon a reactionary and regressive basis, and legislate trans women out of existence, it becomes an essential task of the Communist Party to renew the struggle against male supremacy, both within the organisation and in society at large. The full discussion document, which was penned by Bennett Shoup, is available at the party's website. Bennett is a queer organiser for the Claudia Jones School for Political Education, a member of the DC Young Communist League, and an expert in radical LGBTQ plus history and theory.
Now, the gay Conservative MP Scott Benton has resigned as a Member of Parliament, a move which would trigger a by-election and could see the Tories lose another seat because they trail the main opposition, Labour, so heavily in the polls at present. The BBC News Channel reports that Mr Benton was facing a local vote on whether to remove him following the imposition of a Commons ban in the wake of a lobbying scandal. The MP, who represented Blackpool South since 2019, had been exposed as accepting bribes for lobbying by the Times newspaper. He was secretly filmed by undercover reporters who were posing as gambling industry investors, and he said that he could lobby ministers. He was also recorded offering to table parliamentary questions and leak a confidential policy paper. He lost an appeal against a suspension after the Commons investigation found he had caused, quote, significant damage to Parliament's reputation. During the campaign for the 2019 general election, David Brown, who stood against him for the Brexit Party, expressed concerns over his links to the anti-abortion organisation Society for the Protection of Unborn Children, which has campaigned against same-sex marriage and has been accused many times of homophobia. In response, Mr Benton stated that he was no longer linked to SPUC. He said that he supported their anti-abortion stance but was not homophobic and was a supporter of same-sex marriage, according to his article on Wikipedia. Indeed, Mr Benton married his partner in 2021 at the Palace of Westminster. As a gay conservative Christian, he has often been at odds with the mainstream of the LGBTQIA plus movements. Nevertheless, his resignation will be mourned by many who believe that representation for our community in Parliament is important.
And it's a very happy birthday from all of us at Shout Out to the lesbian magazine Diva, which turns 30 years old this month. Ella Gauchy writes that in a very special new episode of the Liberating Histories podcast, you can catch Diva's founding editor, Frances Williams, having a chat with our fabulous current editor-in-chief, Roxy Bob Dylan. Presented by Dr. Victoria Basin, Dr. Melanie Waters and Dr. Eleanor Careless, the Liberating Histories podcast explores the last 50 years of feminism through some of our most cherished magazines. In this new episode, Roxy and Francis discuss the queer
periodical.
Thank you. Scene of the 1990s, contemporary divas, a commitment to trans inclusivity, and the pros and cons of lesbian visibility. To hear the podcast, visit our website for a link.
And finally, RCS Radio and Media website reports that the national UK station Boom Radio, which is aimed at the mature listener, will feature a special presentation on the perennial gay and Eurovision favourite band ABBA on April the 7th. RCS says that lyricist Sir Tim Rice will host a special programme with interviews with ABBA themselves, album tracks, live recordings and some of the key songs from their catalogue. ABBA, the 50-year voyage, airs on Sunday the 7th of April at 9 o'clock with a repeat on Thursday the 11th of April. Boom Radio is available nationally in the UK on digital platforms and also has internet offshoots specialising in easy listening and rock music programming.
Well, that's Shout Out News for another week. We wish you all a very happy Easter, however you are celebrating it, as well as a good Transgender Day of Visibility. Until next week, do check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt. It's updated every day.
For Shout Out News, this has been Terry Starr.
And Ezra Peregrine.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Another musical there, that's Hairspray, and You Can't Stop the Beat. Another brilliant song, that one. So that doesn't trump
I'm a
everybody
huge
loves
fan
Jamie.
Of that musical. Absolutely love it. I love the song Baltimore. It's such a good musical. No, so
I,
happy.
I don't think there's a song in that film, that old musical, whichever way you want to look at it, that I don't like.
Yeah, and apparently the writer, I've actually forgotten his name, sorry, they're all set in Baltimore.
Yes.
There we go.
I mean, the musical is actually the second version. The first version of it was not a musical.
Was the film with Ricky Lake? Is that right?
Yes, and I forget the drag queen's name now. Divine. That's
yeah,
it,
and
yeah.
Then we had John Travolta
who
in the second
played
film.
It brilliantly.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
To the point you wouldn't have known it was John Travolta if you hadn't been told, really. Or at least I don't think. I don't know. Do you think?
Yeah. Well, I might have got there in the end. There's some really funny moments in that film. His accent is hysterically funny. But
I left the iron on.
Crazy turn blood. That was off cuff. Anyway.
I thought I'd keep some musical stuff in there. Yeah. Because, of course, we were doing Everybody's Talking About Jamie earlier, so which was lovely. But on to something completely different.
Absolutely.
Now. And we're talking therapy.
Yeah,
And a group that's very close to our hearts because they're lovely and sponsor a lot of Shout Out, and that's Talk to the Rainbow. And of course, I know our lovely Tara, but I haven't got a show note with your name on it. I'm afraid to say who you are. So would you like to tell us who you are?
I would love to tell you who I am. I'm Donna. Yeah,
and
Donna.
You're one of the founders, aren't you, too, along with Tara, I believe.
I've certainly, in.
You've been through the pain.
Your sins.
Been through the pain.
Been through the pain, absolutely.
Now, do me a favour, because we know you guys really, really well. We know what you do, obviously, because especially working with Tara here on Shout Out, it's quite dear to our hearts too. Mm-hmm. But for our listeners who may never have heard of Talk to the Rainbow before, tell us how it all came about and what it's all about.
Wow, yeah. Well, it was sort of born in COVID, which was in COVID time, so that was a real challenge. But
we don't miss those times, let's face it.
No, exactly. So it had its initial kind of struggles, but it was developed really, and Tara can kind of add in being the sort of original OG kind of founder, to support the LGBTQ+ community with being able to offer a service from the community for the community, so that people could feel like they could be connected or build a relationship with somebody that understood a much deeper experience around their own personal experiences and challenges and things that they face. So it was to try and offer a space that felt really, truly, deeply safe and connected and supportive.
Clients struggle to sometimes connect with a therapist because they have to spend too much time educating the therapist about what it is they are.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I've been through some therapy myself, and I've felt that. It's something you kind of, I guess, don't think about until you're actually in that situation. But yeah. Is it still really important this day and age? We keep asking for equality and the like. Do you find that most of your LGBT plus people are still like, well, no, actually, I'd still rather talk to someone who is LGBT or T? It's still very much the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think a lot of my clients, so I work for Talk to the Rainbow, so I'm coming from a slightly different perspective. A lot of my clients that enter into that space have often experienced previous therapy. And it's not that it's necessarily been a negative experience, but that therapy has come to an end for whatever reason. And they're actually in a space where they've reflected on that and recognised that something that is really important to them is coming into a therapeutic space where they are not having to explain some really sort of basic elements of who they are.
Yeah. So, for example, like you don't have to come out.
So you don't have to explain what non-binary is. You don't have to explain why you might be using they/them pronouns. You don't have to explain what it means to be trans
or polyamorous
or poly. It just is known, and I think that creates a different type of rapport in the therapeutic setting.
Yeah. So it started in COVID. Did you actually start doing the counselling during COVID?
Online.
Yeah.
Online. We were all online.
Yeah. It was, very strange time.
Yeah, it was. We got clients from all over it. I mean, Cumbria, London, Lincoln. That was a consequence of the pandemic, really.
Yeah. I mean, if there's one thing that the pandemic did do, it did improve video conferencing, it has really to be said.
Yeah.
I think it took the fear out of it eventually, because I was very fearful of even talking through Teams. So learning how to communicate as a therapist through video calls was a very interesting experience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we've been doing it for just over 3 years?
Yeah, but my maths is appalling.
Because I'm just in the third year of accounts now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, good luck with that.
And
yeah.
What's happened is we've bitten the bullet and we've set up a low-cost service. Because I know every time we come here, you kind of go, you talk about being free, but we're not quite free.
I ask you. I don't necessarily say you should or shouldn't be. I mean, it's a skill, isn't it?
Yeah, so
you
what's know, happened...
It's important if you're not doing it as a charity and you're not getting government funding something, you know, it's not something that people, in my personal view, should just expect for free. Mm. You know, I understand there are some people who are low income who may need those kind of things, but, you know, you're all also trained therapists, correct me if I'm wrong. It's not like you say it's for the community, by the community, but when you say that, the therapists are formally trained. Yep. They're not just your average Joe off the street.
And so the average fee is probably £50 plus for those therapists. And so what we've done is we've set up a low-cost service now, and that's using trainee therapists that are being signed off to practice by their colleges and universities, and we set them up, and we've got our first group in.
Yeah.
And so we're now
three student therapists ready to go.
And so we're now looking for clients for them, and that the idea for that is people that can't afford, you know, £50.
Someone who has done it for many years.
There is a reduced service now that's available they can make contact with.
Cool. And I'm assuming this is all still an online thing.
No, it's all in person. Yeah.
Right, there's
that the low-cost therapy service offers in person because for
those... Well, I was going to say, because this is new, isn't
it? Yeah, it's new.
I was going to steer to that. So tell us what's happened here, because until quite recently it was mainly online, correct me if I'm wrong, was it?
We were only online really in COVID, and then and actually even to be honest, through bits of COVID, I was working in person with some people, so it was really as soon as we could, because it's a better experience if possible. You know, it's still progress and successful online. There's no, you know, but there's something about being in the room with somebody and being able to connect with them, and you know, so we've been sort of in person kind of bits, you know, from there. But some of our therapists live in different places as well, so they stay online, and if they're Bristol-based clients, then so we offer all of it.
I was going to say, so if someone's listening and they're not, because we're Bristol, but obviously we broadcast all over the place, so if you're not Bristol and you're interested, there's still the option of the online.
And for the low-cost therapy service, though, that's in person, and that feels important for the clients and for the student therapists, that, you know, that they go through an assessment and they are either allied members or from the community, and we really want to develop therapists or help the development of therapists' experience of working with the LGBTQ plus community, because, you know, that's something that needs to be expanded from the, in their training. And so, you know, we want to encourage and keep providing as best we can either allied members or people from the community as much as we can to really build and strengthen that new up and coming therapist coming through.
I was going to say, it's almost like there's two sides to it. So you're not only offering therapy, but you're also offering people who are quite new into the industry also a chance to get their feet under the table with it too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and as part of that, we would offer them a little bit of training along the way so that they can really feel much more confident in what they're doing, because it is a, you know, it's, yeah. It's,
it may be seen as a specialist subject, actually, by some therapists.
Yes, yeah.
Some therapists will avoid it.
Oh, right, okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they'll aim for a certain segment of the marketplace.
I guess that's me being, I'm so used to being in the LGBT plus community. Yeah. We do sometimes forget some people really are not.
Yeah. And they wouldn't know what to do. They'd probably throw their arms up and kind of run away, kind of fearful. No, it's not for me. You need to find someone else.
Whereas I think with this, it's for people who are right at the opposite end of that that spectrum, and who want to be in a space where they can train in a way that allows them to develop their skills to work with the LGBTQI+ community. Mm. And training, you know, it's an unavoidable part, you know, your hours, as it were, is an unavoidable part of getting to become a qualified therapist. And I think it is so important to have a really lovely space to do that in, because it lays the foundations for a person's understanding of the therapeutic field. So you want that to be as good a space for the trainee as it is for the client.
Can I just ask what the youngest age is?
This is the thing. With the student therapists, they are 18 plus. Because depending on where they've come from, where they're doing their training, they wouldn't necessarily get that. Sometimes they will be able to have a specialist little bit of training to add on their under 18s. But it is interesting because we've already had, you know, we've had expression of interest for somebody under 18 already for the service. And